That's about 100 singers, mostly amateur, warming up as their voice coach plays the piano. Irma Mellinger occasionally lifts one hand off the keyboard as if to sculpt the rounded shape of the sound she wants the chorus to make. For her, the C minor Mass is a shimmering showcase for not just one composer, but two, Amadeus Mozart and Robert Levin.
It is seamless, and I think all of Mozart's colors and facets and hues are represented, and I don't personally know. I don't think about it in terms of, is this Levin or is this Mozart? I think of it more in terms of, how do we get through this vocal line in a beautiful manner, you know, and serve the music.
But for at least one singer, Dan Meerson of Thetford, there are some perceptible differences between the 18th century composer and the 20th century reconstructor.
The parts that he put together sometimes are clearly, to me, not Mozartian. That is to say, I spent enough time with Mozart. I play the piano, I sing, I do other things, and I kind of know what Mozart usually sounds like, although he's not predictable.
Mozart was also a musical multitasker, but in this case, the task outlived him. In completing the Mass, Robert Levin faced daunting challenges. Some parts were written, but not scored for particular instruments or voices. One part, the Credo, is incomplete. The original scores of the Sanctus Hosanna and the Benedictus are lost, and the Agnus Dei was never composed. So Levin had to fill in the missing pieces. It's hard to say exactly how many, by consulting sketches Mozart left for this and other compositions.
My efforts have been channeled towards trying to make the break between the authentic parts of it and the speculative parts of it as narrow as possible, so that a person who had never heard the piece before would be unlikely to guess that there was an issue of dual authorship at all.
But that dual authorship is exactly what makes this work so fascinating for Robert Duff, who will conduct a large orchestra, two choruses, and four soloists. Duff thinks Levin's completion is more graceful than attempts by earlier finishers. He says you can hear Mozart's homage to Bach, an earlier master.
And so we end up having a real intense Mozart that's grappling with Baroque counterpoint, which is very uncharacteristic of Mozart at the time.
We call them the fiendish fugues.
That's alto Kathy Christie. She actually loves those multi-layered fugues with so many voices entering and exiting because they put the middle voices, altos and tenors, on equal footing with the sopranos and basses.
Sometimes Mozart gets to be a one-note guy, or the alto is filling in the chord, so it'll be the G and the F, G and the F. And when in doubt, select one of those notes and you're probably right, you know. But this isn't that way at all.
No, it isn't. It's a rich tonal tapestry woven by two composers spanning two centuries. For VPR News, I'm Charlotte Albright in the Upper Valley.